Grade 6 Conference, Lecture 4, The Sixth Grader. Before I begin this lecture, I want to give you a caveat, or at least a full disclosure. What I am going to describe next, though it is based on many years' study of Rudolf Steiner's work, and a great deal of work with Rudolf Steiner's indications. Nonetheless, I am not quoting Rudolf Steiner in any, if at least not much of this, and I am not going to be telling you Rudolf Steiner says very much, because this is really based on my own research and my own work taking four groups of children through grade 6, and observing probably, 150 or more sixth grade classes around the world. So I feel there's a very firm basis for what I'm going to say, but it's for a number of reasons, has not been well received by, I'd say, the leadership of the Waldorf Schools Association. It has not always been well received by individual schools. I think you'll understand why as you hear more. And in fact, a member of the Council of the Pedagogical Section of the United States was very open in her criticisms and told someone that they should stop me from speaking this way. So what I'm going to say is, to put it mildly, fairly controversial, and I just ask you, give it a hearing, and then I ask you to see if it makes sense. Does this answer questions that you or your colleagues may have had about your school and the way in which the sixth grade pans out? I think that you'll see this is really what it's about. It may not be that Rudolf Steiner said this, but I think that you will find it really helpful in solving a riddle or two, and very helpful in your own practical approach to grade 6, and perhaps even helpful for your entire school in its handling of grade 6 classes, your own and those that follow. So you're welcome to skip this one, but I would say that pretty much everything else I'm going to be talking about, all of the subjects and work with colleagues, work with parents, at the end of the conference, all of this is really posited on what I am going to be speaking of in this coming lecture. All right, here we go. Now, I asked in the previous lecture, in speaking more about the astral body, and after enumerating all of the problems that it brings into human life, and not just that of the 12-year-old, but into our own lives every day, where would psychiatry, psychology, in fact, basically all medicine be without all of the issues that the astral body throws before us? And I said, well, it's needed for thinking that this is important, and it's important for us to work in cultivating thinking in grade 6, and this will be a helpful antidote. But there's something else that the astral body carries as well. And we could use the word destiny. We could use the word karma. And this is the non-quoting Rudolf Steiner research that I have come to, that for the first 12 years of our life, we are carried in our parents' karmic womb. Just as the unborn child in the embryonic and fetal stage is not able to ambulate independently, cannot, at least in the physical sense, tell its parents, go right, go left, here, pull them along as they will when they're toddlers. They are completely dependent on the physical movements of the mother. And only after birth, only after in human life, we are 1 to 2 years old, are we able then to walk on our own feet. We have this period of a couple of years from conception to toddlerhood in which we are completely carried around by our parents. And even when we're older, of course, you know, think of how a child comes to the Waldorf school. It may be that child said to its mother, I want to go to this kindergarten, I love it. But the child did not walk to that kindergarten. Most likely she was driven by her mother or her father or both. She gets to school every day by being driven by her parents or a carpool or a bus. If her parents have to move to another city or another country for financial reasons or personal reasons, she will go with them and her educational life will be disrupted. So the child is completely dependent on the parents' karmic decisions, on their karma, for the first 12 years of her life. This is the reason that those of you who heard the fifth grade lectures, or those of you who've been to other conferences that I've given, have heard me say repeatedly, the most important thing for the teacher to do in the first 5 grades is to cultivate connections with the parents. It's again, as I like to say, like sweeping a room. Sweep the corners and the middle will take care of itself. The parents are the corners. Cultivate your connection with them. Educate them. Hold frequent, interesting meetings. Be on the phone with them and so on. I'll be talking more about this when I specifically work with the parents in a later lecture. But all together, parents, 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 because the children are being carried by the parents' destiny, by the parents' karma. It's your karma with the parents that brought the children to you, not your karma with the children. And this is one of the, if not the, greatest misunderstandings and misapprehensions in the Waldorf movement, that teachers are being told that it is their karma with the children that is most important in the first few grades. No, 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 it is not. And this is a reason that what I'm telling you is so threatening to many, because they're the ones who teach everybody this. This is why, quite frankly, to even bother having the first grade potential first grade teacher tell the kindergartners a story and see if they like it or not, or see if the kindergarten teachers like him or not in relation to this group of children, it's a waste of time. It's meaningless. If it were dependable, then we'd never be firing anybody. You know, we'd only have the greatest teachers. But obviously, it's hit or miss to do it that way. Much more important is to actually have that person meet with the parents. That would be the way to do it. And see who is able to handle that group of parents, because they would have a destiny with them. Okay, that's all water under the bridge. You're in grade 6 and it's too late. Your faculty may have made a huge mistake by hiring you, but here you are anyway. So now this changes. The physical body and the etheric body are deeply enmeshed in the parents' karma. Remember that for the first few years of our life, we carry what Steiner calls a model body that the parents have lent to us. It's only with the childhood illnesses, if a child even gets those anymore, the childhood illnesses that sever the connection with the physical model body, but the etheric model body, we might say, persists. Only when the astral body comes and takes over, invades the etheric body's domain, with the etheric body allowing that to happen, can we say that with the coming of the astral body, the child's own destiny, the child's own karma, now clicks in. And we are facing a human being who is as different from what he or she was at age 11, 11 and a half, as day is from night. That is a powerful and profound change. Now I'm going to stop here. You can digest this for a while and come back and hear the rest.